Welcome to Wallowing in the Shallows, the podcast that skirts the perilous drop-off of a deep dive into television and movies. We are academic nerds aspiring to become TV and movie geeks. There are no spoiler guards in the shallows, so listen at your own risk. This week, join us for a wallow in a Buffy the Vampire Slayer Season 2 rewatch. Hello, peeps. Welcome to Wallowing in the Shallows. This is Tori.
And this is Rebecca. And today we are talking about Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Season 2, Episode 18, Killed by Death.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It was. You know, I liked it better this time. Again, I'm finding many of the episodes that I didn't really care for in the past when I'm watching them critically, I seem to find redeeming things about them, except for the pack and the damn, even the pack I found a little bit, but the stupid praying mantis lady, teacher's pet.
Yes.
That one, there is nothing redeeming about that episode.
I hear you. Did this villain remind you of any other horror character out there in
Freddy Krueger much?
Yes.
Yeah,
totally. All the way down to the kids running around in the basement. And mm-hmm. I was so sure there was going to be a boiler room. So, you know, there was going to be a furnace somewhere. Because I mm-hmm. think that mm-hmm. happens in Freddy Krueger. Mm-hmm. Yeah, if he'd only had the colorful sweater, it would have just been perfect.
That's what I was thinking too.
Yeah.
He needs the sweater. So, yeah, I love this. I was looking for, because I forgot to write a summary. And so I was looking around, and on Apple TV Plus, I found a summary of this episode, and it says, while hospitalized with a severe case of the flu, Buffy battles a demon that sucks the life out of sick children. Hmm. That's even shorter and concise than what IMDb usually has.
Perfect. I think it really sums it up nicely. Yeah.
Captures it all. Now, yeah, this one's not rated very high. Rolling Stone rated it 138 out of the 100. Yeah.
That doesn't surprise me. I mean, it's not terrible, but it's not, I'm not going to deeply remember this one, I don't think.
You will. You'll just be like, oh, that guy. Well, I mean, I don't mind the villain all that much. I don't like the music that they play with the villain. It's just too, I mean, I know they did it because of the kids, but that weird, drives me crazy. But he's kind of scary looking.
He is freaky looking. That severe underbite teeth action, that's pretty terrifying.
Yeah.
And oh my God, when his eyes like popped out to suck the life out of, that was utterly overkill.
Yeah, it's pretty darn gross.
Now, Joyce did say that Buffy never gets sick. Mm-hmm. And I thought we'd established that because she was the Slayer, she really didn't get sick. But I guess maybe that's not the case because she got sick.
She did. And I, again, was reading that Myth and Metaphor book by Mark Field. Mm-hmm. And he mentioned that he thought the sickness was a metaphor. Let me find this exact words. Exact with a T, not exact. Learn how to speak. A metaphor for her feeling sick over Jenny's death. But I'm like, it's not a metaphor for her feeling sick over Jenny's death.
I mean, she was hospitalized.
Yeah. And so I think, you know, this is like a big guilt episode. And Buffy even says it at one point when she and Willow are in Dr. Becker's office after he's dead.
Yes.
And she's like, yep, another person I wasn't in time to save.
Oh.
And so I think this episode is all about how Buffy is sick with guilt.
Hmm. Okay. I guess I would say that, yeah, maybe not as much a metaphor as, I mean, a physical manifestation of the guilt.
Yes. Yes. I think that's a good way to put it.
Okay, I like that. Now that we've modified it slightly, I do like that because, and always she feels guilty about things that are not her fault.
Right.
I mean, what irresponsible parent let an 8-year-old girl into her 8-year-old cousin's room, hospital room, by herself? Period.
Yeah.
I
Yeah.
don't need to go on any further with that. Why was the little patient alone? And why was Buffy alone visiting her? That made no
Yeah.
sense to me.
No, it doesn't. All
Well,
right.
once again, okay, so at the beginning here, I said Buffy looks a little bit beleaguered and then she's sick. Freaking Angel. I'm glad he wasn't in this a whole lot. Oh, I'm just hating Nasty Angel. Are you sick that I was there first? Blah, blah, blah. Oh, he's
Yeah.
just revolting.
Yeah. He definitely is. And I was going to ask you, are you still raging about Angel? But I guess
I'm
that
still
answer
raging.
is yes.
I'm still violently raging about Angel. Yes.
It was interesting. I looked up because I was curious, when Angel shows up at the hospital and he's carrying the white flowers.
Yes.
And so I was looking up what the symbolism for white roses is. And
Virginity.
no,
Oh.
actually, it's got a lot, but new beginnings, remembrance, and the one I thought was really interesting is I'm thinking of you. And I was like, boy, I wonder if that was a deliberate choice, right? To imply that, Angel is always thinking about Buffy and so forth. And it also, and it could be a mocking, right? Because one of the other ones is to honor a friend or loved one in recognition of a new beginning or farewell. So I was like, well, maybe the white roses were chosen not very particularly.
Yeah, that seems to be driving. That's interesting.
I thought it was.
Huh. Yeah. Because, yeah, flower choice, you've got options, right?
Right.
And all the way back to Shakespeare, and I'm sure further than that, choices of flowers and herbs and things have definitely been meaningful.
Yeah. I have to say, before we go any further, Cordelia steals the episode. She has so many amazing lines in this episode.
She really does. Sometimes she comes off as almost like Sheldon-like, like Asperger's, or almost like that in just how bluntly matter-of-fact she is. But coming out of kind of this cheerleader, social climber, body. You just don't think that, oh, maybe she's on the spectrum, but maybe she is.
Maybe. Yeah, I mean, her first line, we're all concerned how gross you look.
Yes.
Of course, I was
Yes.
thinking, damn, if I looked that good when I had
Oh, my
the flu,
gosh.
I'd
I know. I know. Perfection. Okay, this is kind of jumping into when she's already at the hospital. But when Joyce told Giles she was sorry about Jenny and that she'd said, I had a little moment of wondering if the two of them might get together.
Oh, interesting.
There just seemed to be, she was just kind of like, my door's open or whatever. I mean, I don't think she was coming on to him, but I was like, oh goodness, wouldn't that be a mind freak for Buffy if Giles got together with her mom? Neither of them have been very lucky in love lately.
No. Although, this is the first time we've heard Hank's name mentioned, or when they didn't call him Hank, but We haven't heard about him for quite a while.
Buffy's dad. Yeah.
Yeah, thank you. I'm just like, Hank.
Yeah, just making sure. Just tying, you know, just tying the pieces together.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And again, the scene, Cordelia, that thing on her face. Am
Yeah,
I the only
what?
one that sees that thing on her face? I did think it was a little, well, as usual, there are some weird things that are hard to buy in this episode. One, that the doctor is actually helping to transfer Buffy to her room. Hello, you got nothing better to do, Dr. Wilkinson? And she just happens to have a sedative on her when Buffy starts to
Rage.
rage. Yeah, about leaving. Thank you.
Yeah, because everybody expects the 16-year-old girl to put up a heck of a fight.
Yes. Yeah. I'm sorry. My brain went to the Spanish Inquisition.
Oh,
You know,
wow.
nobody expects the Spanish Inquisition, but I was like, oh, nobody expects the whatever. It makes no sense at all. It's been a
Nobody,
long, long, long day.
nobody does expect the Spanish Inquisition. I mean, where did that come from?
My brain is just like, what?
You know, when little oh, I'm forgetting
Delia?
his name, Teddy. No, the little boy,
Ryan.
Adam, Brian, Ryan.
You want to go through a few more before
Sure. When Ryan first appeared at the door, I was like, oh, creepy kid. You know, after we had Satan Boy or whatever. And then, so I said, oh, creepy, creepy boy. And then I said, oh, creepy man.
Yeah.
I
Yes.
was like,
Well, they.
okay, it's not the kid.
Yeah, I mean, they had that kid as like shoulders were hunched up and he's just kind of like glaring at
Skulking
Buffy. I'm like, what
around.
the hell?
Yeah,
What the
first I
hell?
thought the boy was gonna be, or I thought he was ghost. I didn't know.
Yeah, and then we find out it's basically a dream.
Yes.
And I wonder, it was interesting because she had prophetic dreams before. And it was interesting. I kind of forgot one of the, I think it was the metaphor guy says, that. They do less of that kind of thing as the seasons go on and focus just on her mighty strength. Because how was
Interesting.
she? She shouldn't have seen that boy before, right?
Oh, right. And it was interesting because when she first got out of bed, I was like, what? She doesn't have an IV. And then we see that moments later, it really happens and she does remove her IV and removes their own IVs. Youch. Not
Yeah,
I.
I would. I mean, I think I might. I don't know if I told you about the time I had to have blood drawn from the back of my hand. I had a total panic attack
Oh,
and ended
no.
up with my friend Kim back in Toledo. He was getting his blood drawn at the same time, and we get on the freeway. I'm driving, singing Little Willie at the top of my lungs. I just had a total freak out about them taking blood from
Oh.
the back of my hand. And I'm driving like 80, 85 down the freeway. And this was before mandatory seat belts. And I see out of the corner of my eye Kim like reach over for his seat belt. He buckles it. And because I'm just like screeching, Little Willy Willy won't go home at the top of my lungs. It was like the weirdest reaction. So there's no way in hell I'm yanking it out of my top of my hand. Ugh.
What was going through your mind? Were you freaked out? What?
Well,
What?
I'm not totally sure. This is the 80s when the HIV scare was really kind of hitting its peak.
Okay.
So Kim wanted to get his HIV tested, but he was kind of nervous about it. And I said, trying to be the good friend, I'm like, I'll go with you and I'll get mine done too. And they were just have they couldn't get blood out of a place that they normally do. And she's The nurse was like, or the phlebotomist was like, well, we're gonna have to do it out of the back of your hand. And I'm like, oh no, you are not taking it out of the back of my hand. And they did anyways. And it was funny because Kim had walked by right when they were getting ready to jab me in the back of my hand. And then I walked out into the waiting room. And he's like, what was that look? And I'm like, that's blood out of the back of my hand. And I just like, I don't know if I was like freaked out about Because this is peak of my party days too, and so
Sure.
maybe freaking out about HIV because this was pre any type of decent treatment for it,
Of
and
course. Okay. That's starting to make a little more sense and unexpected. You weren't expecting that they were going to do it out of the back of your hand, and here. Yeah. Okay.
So I think I might have just kind of freaked myself. Well, obviously I freaked myself out, but I mean, I think it was, the possibility of testing HIV positive, and I don't like needles, says the woman who goes to acupuncture every 2 weeks. Now, but I really hated them back then. I just couldn't stand it, and damn
Okay.
it, it freaking hurt when
Oh,
they did it.
yuck.
So yeah, I would not be yanking an IV out of my hand.
No.
I'd be like, do you have a painkiller for that before you take it out?
Yeah, it just happens a lot, I feel. I feel like we see that a lot when people are in the hospital, and I just think, do people really do that very often?
Yeah,
I mean, I
I
understand if it's a
don't.
matter of life and death and you got to run or something, but I don't know. Weird. I kind of, when it was then Buffy's memory of going toward the hospital room, I got some the Shining vibes. I don't know, the lighting and the little girl walking down the hall, just for a few moments.
And her little white Mary Janes. I thought she looked, well, number one, absolutely nothing like Sarah Michelle Gellar. And I was like, she's almost looks almost as tall as Sarah Michelle Gellar.
That's funny.
And I thought it was interesting that they had that little girl, like little girl Buffy and Celia, both in
Yes.
purple.
Oh,
And
I didn't
I
clock
noticed weird
that.
things. Yeah, they were both in purple.
Huh.
At least in the hospital, I didn't notice if they were dressed in similar colors when they had the scene in the bedroom where, Buffy runs in and she's like, I'm Power Girl.
Yeah, that was kind of a cute, like, she's always wanted to be the hero, always been protective, what have you. Anyway, kids just walking around the hospital. I mean, again, I just this whole episode, I'm just like, you never just see kids wandering around a hospital.
I was thinking that too. I'm like, why are these children out of bed?
Yeah. Aren't they
And
sick?
yeah, they're supposed to be sick. I mean, and really? I mean, would you kick the kids out of the room when you're, I mean, because they had just transported Tina, right? The little girl who died out of the room. And then Buffy overhears the two doctors having their little discussion. And she turns around and the two kids are there. And I'm like, what the hell? Why are those two kids there? Would they really kick them out of the room alone just to remove this body? Which I could see them wanting to like try to remove the body in a way that wouldn't disturb the other kids. But I mean, don't you just kind of like close the curtains around their beds to, for that kind of privacy?
Seriously, what are we talking about? Is this like an old-timey orphanage that there are like 16 beds in this one room with all these sick kids?
It was a strange setup, and
The weirdest. Sunnydale General is a shady business.
is, which Cordelia kind of alludes to when
It's
she's
true.
talking about the nose job that her friend got. But yeah, and I thought, why the hell is there a door to the basement in the children's
Yes.
ward?
Yes, another excellent question. To basement from the 16-bed children's room. We put all the children here. All the children in the hospital stay in this room. And no adults, no parent is to be seen ever.
And no nurses. Hello, nurses.
Nothing.
It was craziness.
Now, I always have to be careful, and so because every time I try to look something up, there's just spoilers abound with Buffy, right? But a monster that grown-ups can't see actually did sound kind of familiar to me. And was it actually grown-ups, or was it if you're feverish, you can see them? Or was that just Buffy could see him because she was feverish and children can't? I didn't
Well,
quite get the rules down.
I think, let me see, one of the sites I was looking at talked about that. Let me see if I can find it. Oh, again, it was the Myth and Metaphor guy. He wrote, "Since she can see Der Kinderstadt when she is sick," and then here I'm paraphrasing, "she's still a bit of a child herself." So I don't know, because you would think, of course, they don't show any other adults or any other teenagers with the flu bad enough to be in the hospital. So we don't know if anybody else Buffy's age or older when they were feverish could see it.
Right.
So hard to know.
Yeah. Well, hey, I busted this wide open though.
Okay.
Because would you agree that we seem to have found out that Celia was killed by this
Right.
same dude?
Right.
Buffy, as a child, couldn't see him.
Oh, yeah.
She
And
just
she
saw
wasn't
her cousin
sick.
struggling.
Right. Well, I guess you do have to be feverish to see it then, even as a child.
I think you do. So I maybe even though clearly we've established that he preys on children, though he did go after Buffy as well with his beady eyes.
Well, evidently she's still a bit of a child.
Okay. But anyway, he's Der Kinderstocken or whatever. So he's the
Like
kid,
Der Kinderstocken.
the kid killer. But so that's his delicacy of choice. But yeah, I think you have to be sick in order to
Yeah.
see him.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're right. So it's more than just being a kid.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have to be
As a
sick.
kid, you may be more likely to be the victim, but boy, that'd be even more. Well, no, I can't compare the terrifying. But if you didn't have a fever, if you were just a kid and he was killing you, and you felt this thing on you, but you couldn't see it. But then again, would you really want to see it? You know,
Yeah. Well, I mean, I
nothing
think
about
we're
this scenario is good.
right. And I think we're supposed to kind of make an assumption that Celia could see it because she was sick and
I think
trying to
so
fight
too.
it off. But yeah, since baby Buffy wasn't sick.
I think she can see it. I think she is sick. And,
And
well, she's in the hospital, so yeah.
I think it's in that scene where Buffy's watching Celia try to fight the thing off and she's screaming. Good job, by the way, little girl, for
Yeah.
screeching your head off. I think but the Buffy actor slips and calls her Cecilia. And I meant to go back and double check that because I was like, did she just say Cecilia? And then I got sidetracked and didn't go back.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. Because I wrote it down, Cecilia. And every place else I wrote down Celia.
Celia, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, interesting how that all tied back together. And this Der Kinderstocken really gives off succubus vibes to me. Like, even though he's super ugly, it's not, I think succubi are women,
Right.
but they, I don't they kind of sit on top of their victims and suck the life force out of them while they're sleeping or in bed or something like that.
Well, I've never read about succubuses or succubi,
Oh.
excuse me. So I'm thinking about the television shows I've seen it on.
This should
And
be safe for me to search.
yeah, it should be. All I can think of is the Supernatural episode that had a succubus who looked like a female to all the victims, but was actually a male.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, well, maybe she doesn't choke them. But anyway, this is just Wikipedia.
Okay.
A demon or supernatural entity in folklore in female form, but to your
Okay.
point, maybe that's just a form, that
Right.
appears in dreams to seduce men, usually through sexual activity. According to religious tradition, a succubus needs semen to survive. Repeated sexual activity with a succubus will result in a bond being formed. The succubus will drain or harm the man with whom she's having intercourse. So maybe it's not so much, well, that could drain. That's kind of
Yeah.
sucking the life out of him.
Sure.
Oh,
Yeah.
and the male counterpart to the succubus is the incubus.
Oh. Now I'm like, did I mishear on Supernatural? Did they call it an incubus?
We interrupt this program to bring you a special bulletin.
Post-recording note from Tori. Yes, I did misunderstand the Supernatural episode. It was season 4, episode 14, Sex and Violence, and it was a siren, not a succubus.
So, not exactly the same, but,
Right.
and certainly not the sexual component, but
Correct.
kind of during sleep, in bed.
Yeah.
In bed, draining the life out, you know,
Yeah.
maybe that's as far as the comparison goes.
Everything
Gosh, where are we?
else I want to talk about is Cordelia.
Well, I love it. Okay. One, she saved Xander's butt with this flirting with the security guard who's so familiar because he's done a bunch of little bit parts all over the place
Right.
as an older person.
Willie Garson.
Willie Garson. And I loved how she said,
Well, I was using the phrase watch her back as a euphemism for looking at her butt.
Yes.
And then she said,
Fine, watch my back.
And then she walks away.
Yeah. Xander really, how do I want to say this? I didn't care for the fact that he like sets himself up as Buffy's protector because just, in the last couple or a couple episodes ago, Cordelia's telling all of her friends off and so she can date Xander, right? And what does he do? He basically shoves it in her face that he's still got a thing for Buffy.
He's also insufferable. Him and Angel can just kind of go off together and be an insufferable jail.
Yeah, I wasn't too happy. And then, and she brought him coffee and donuts.
Crisp creams.
Yeah. Man, he doesn't deserve her at all.
No, he does not. No, he doesn't. He doesn't deserve her or her hard truths.
Loved her interaction with Giles in this episode. When they come to Buffy's room and they've got gifts, and Cordelia's like, I was out of the loop on gifts. And Giles is like, it's traditional among
It's customary.
people. Then later, when they're all leaving to go do different things, research and stuff, and Giles is like,
Why do I have to have good thinking? I could do the research assistant.
Let's go, tact guy.
Yeah, that was amazing. That was she really turned about on him, which I loved.
Yeah. And then when they're in the library doing research, she's like,
Yes.
what's that one do? Oh, what's that one do?
Yeah.
Hats off to Anthony Stewart Head. You could just feel the frustration
Yes.
And I love it. He's like,
It asks endless questions of those with whom it's supposed to be working so that nothing is getting done.
Boy, there's a demon for everything.
I loved it. Loved it. That was so awesome.
She really was fabulous. She was a real highlight of this episode. And then they closed the book and the dude's on the cover.
Yes. I guess that's enough about Cordelia. Since the episode's really not about her.
Well, it's not, but maybe it should be.
It should have been. Yeah, she, like I said, she steals the episode.
Yeah.
And she provides, well, interest. In an episode,
Yes.
when you're watching it the first time, you're just kind of like, huh, what the hell is this episode about? Because it doesn't really seem to make sense when you watch it the first time.
Well, I'm not sure. Does it make complete sense the second time you watch it?
Well, again, I don't know how many times I've watched it,
Right.
but I think when we start to think about this episode as Buffy's guilt episode and how she's, again, as Buffy is wont to do, take on all this responsibility for everybody and everything that's happening that's supernatural. I think then this does start to make sense a little bit. And she's guilty about not saving people. But this
Yes.
guy at the AV Club even talked about that the guilt is also about how her relationship with Angel is affecting people in this majorly negative way. And
Yes.
so this is a like Buffy, this is not only guilt, but helplessness, right? She's sick. And we see it in that first fight between her and Angelus. She's getting her ass kicked, and he gets the better of her. And, if it wasn't for the Scoobs being there, he
Yeah.
probably would have, I don't know if he would have killed her or taken her prisoner to torture her some more or something. Who knows?
Tough to friggin' know.
Yeah, it's hard to know, but here's Buffy's helpless. And, that's not something since she was tapped to be the Slayer that she's had to deal with in a while. And on top of this guilt. And so I think then, if we think about it that way, then the episode makes sense, right? Because it's after Jenny's been killed. It was after she couldn't kill Angel and stuff like
Okay.
that.
Okay, so you're going meta. You're
I'm going
going
meta.
how it fits into the whole deal, and I accept all you say. Okay? So, yes, okay.
Well, and again, I
I'm
think I don't
talking.
want to say that I came up with it all on my own. It's from reading these different things. I was like on TV Fanatic and AV Club and then the Myth and Metaphor book. And so I can't claim to have thought of those on my own.
I dig all that, and that does help just put this into the bigger picture.
Right.
But I think the lore around this villain doesn't really hang together very well.
Yeah, I mean, it could have been. Well, maybe now, as you were saying that, one of the guys that I read, because all these articles I read were by guys, one of them said something about the kids representing Buffy's helplessness. And
Okay.
so remember that scene when she's talking to Ryan and he's like, you can't fight death,
Yes,
and she's
Ryan's
on this.
very wise.
Right, and she had been on this thing like, I'm a superhero. I can fight and blah 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 blah.
He's like, girl,
Yeah. So
this is
maybe
death, man.
maybe in a way, if the kids do represent that helplessness, maybe this is Buffy trying to convince herself that she can help herself. That didn't make sense. Did that make sense? Do you kind of get what I'm trying to say here? Or did it make no sense?
Oh, I was with you for a while there. I think I just sort of lost the thread. I think I just lost the final loop.
I think like if the kids represent helplessness and Buffy's trying to
Yes.
reassure this child, Ryan, that there are people who will fight and she can fight and blah, 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 blah. So maybe she's reassuring herself. That makes me, yeah, that's a better way to say what. Oh God, that was so convoluted. What the hell?
Okay. No. That's fine. No, I feel good about that. I feel good about that.
Okay.
I do think, though, that maybe the kids aren't given quite enough credit. I
Okay.
mean, I know she has to save them, but I don't think they're completely helpless. I mean, Ryan pulls together a whole revolt, and if they just would have walked out the front door instead of going to the basement, I think they'd have been just fine. Kid had a good, solid plan.
Maybe that's where all the security guards were hanging out, was
Well,
by the
that could
front
be.
door.
That could be. Maybe this
And
was their only choice to go into the creepy basement.
speaking of the security guards,
Yes.
when Dr. Wilkinson, who barely like punches the last number and doesn't even wait for the phone to die or basically dial, and she's immediately speaking. And she
Yes.
calls the guards up to the children's ward and they show up with freaking nightsticks.
Yeah. What are
I'm
you
like,
planning on doing?
yeah. I was like, what the hell? Why are you bringing the nightsticks to the children's ward? It's worrisome.
It is worrisome. So, this Kinderstocken, what's his? I haven't gotten to that page where they actually name him Dirk Kindestad.
Yes.
Okay, Dirk Kindestad.
I still like Der Kinderstocken.
I like it a lot better myself. So I may keep saying it.
Yeah, well, he's stalking those kids.
But he then goes on a rampage against Dr. Bleeker Backer, whatever.
Backer.
Rips, really Freddy Krueger's him, rips the shreds out of him. And I was like, is this also part of Der Kinderstalken's MO? I don't
Well,
know.
I guess since Dr. Backer was trying to cure the kids, as somebody says, Willow, Buffy, somebody says it, that Dick Kinderstalken, I'm going to say, I like it.
Good, good.
You know, that he had to go because he was interrupting the food supply.
I realize he had to go, but he used a completely different method. Like with Buffy, he's kind of beating her up, but then he tries to suck the life out of her too. He doesn't do that with Dr. Backer. He just
Maybe he
rips the crap out of
needs
him.
the young life force, and Dr. Backer's got an old life force.
Well, that could be. That could be. Yes. No, I am totally with you on the frame of the whole thing. I just the this lore around Der Kinderstalken, I'm having some trouble with. From I mean it is faulty right from them all assuming that it's only kids who can see him because Buffy could not see him when she was a child. So, anyway, it's my own thing. I'll get over it. But yes.
I have to say, you know, when Willow and Giles were doing research on Dr. Backer, they pull up the list, his rap
Yes.
sheet, and I was reading it. I wrote them all down. And I thought, man, Sunnydale Memorial really is desperate for doctors, aren't they?
Apparently.
Because I'm
Yeah.
like, improper use of NIH funds, abusive laboratory services, state
Let's
board
hire
ethics
him.
violations for cloning. I'm like, dude, what the fuck are you trying to clone?
Yeah.
And now he's doing this. It's like, geez. And there was a DEA investigation for Schedule 4 drug abuses. That's what I meant to look up. What are Schedule 4 drugs? I don't even know. Schedule
While
4 drugs.
you're looking that up, yeah, it turns out that he actually his dastardly plan was working. His cure was actually saving the kids. He was burning the fever out of them, if
He
that is
was.
indeed a thing.
Yeah, I've heard that before.
Okay, well,
I've heard that before. Okay.
it was working. Okay,
Schedule 4
Schedule Four
drugs.
drugs.
The ones that I recognize. Ambien. Lorazepam, I recognize that one. Let's see, what else? Well, what the hell is that? Don't recognize any of these other ones. There's actually a drug on this list called Conzip. Oh, Darbocet. Hello, Grandma Bess. She loved her Darbocet. Let's see.
Are these mood altering? Are they?
Well, I think
Doesn't
Darbocet's
sound
for
like
pain.
pain. Okay,
Darbocet
set.
was for pain, I think.
Okay,
I think it's like
okay.
a ultra strong, like Tylenol or something. Like not, I think even stronger than like Tylenol 3 or something.
Okay. Okay, so maybe the kinds of prescription drugs that people might be trying to take illicitly.
Yes. So, hello, Cindy, if you're listening to this, can you please let me know?
Yeah.
My cousin, who was the oh,
Pharmacy.
phenobarbital is on this list.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, I guess that's kind of where we're going. And I'm only like halfway through the list, so.
Okay, but we're getting it sounds like some of these clearly could be abused.
Yes, definitely.
And perhaps are tracked more carefully by doctors to try to make sure they're not being, I don't know, getting into
Well,
the hands of addicts.
phenobarbital, those were big, like in the 60s, right? If I'm remembering correctly. There was a, what was the street name for it? Street name for
Mama's
phenobarbital.
little helper. That's me pass
I don't
out.
think that was it. So it's a barbiturate.
Yes.
Okay, so
Yes, I
barbiturates.
think you can be addicted. You can get addicted. Maybe
Barbs,
they're ones you can.
downers.
Maybe they're ones you can get addicted to.
Yeah. I guess so. There's different kinds, right? I was just looking at some of these names. Street names of barbiturates, barbs, blockbusters, Christmas trees, downers.
Oh.
And then there's street names for different types of barbiturates. And
Oh.
so amibarbital, blue devils, blue heaven, blue velvets, pentobarbital, the one that made me laugh was Mexican yellows, phenobarbital, it's goofballs and purple hearts. Oh, pink ladies, I've heard of that. That's secobarbital. Oh, here's one called gorilla pills. Tuinal? Never heard of that. So, anyway, yeah.
Okay, well, this is interesting. I just looked up, just in general, there are substances or chemicals that are drugs with a low potential for abuse and a low risk of dependence. So maybe that Darvocet you were talking about, it's not as strong, maybe much less addictive than, say, Percocet or something, So.
So what the hell was Dr. Becker doing? Questions, questions.
Interesting.
Yeah. Oh well.
Well, anyway, I don't need to do a deep drive, a deep dive into drugs. But clearly, Dr. Backer has a past, and he's found a home here at Sunnydale General, and now he's DED.
Yes. You know, Dr. Becker reminded me of another actor.
The guy who plays Mr. Hooper on Sesame Street.
Who's Mr. Hooper? No, I don't think so. Carl Malden?
Oh, is he? Is he a spokesman for something?
Yeah, he was. I want to say it was American Express. Let's see what the Wikipedia has to say about
Let me
it.
look him up. What did you say his name was?
Carl, Karl Malden,
Okay.
Malden. He was in a lot of stuff. He was in A Streetcar Named Desire. He was in On the
Oh, that
Waterfront.
is not who I was thinking of, but I think yours is better than mine. Yeah, I can see it. I can totally see it.
Oh, here it is. He was later an advertising spokesman for American Express.
Okay. Well, that is not the company I was thinking of. I think mine is it's like some AARP something or other. But mine is not important. My guy doesn't look as close to him as yours does. I gotta look up a picture of Mr. Hooper and see how far off that was. Oh, okay. You should look up Mr. Hooper because that's not too bad.
Let's see. Oh, yeah, that's not too bad. I think Carl Malden's better, but Mr.
I
Hooper's not
agree.
bad. It's the nose. Carl
I
Malden
agree.
has the nose, I
Yeah,
think.
no, Carl Malden is better. Mr. Hooper is closer than I was expecting. Okay. So
Ahead.
we, well, no, I was just going to rein us back in. You go ahead. If you want to keep flying.
No, I'm good. We can leave Carl Malden and Mr. Hooper behind now.
I was just going to get to, she's just drinking it.
I know. And how, and here must be some of the NIH violations. You're just keeping a deadly virus or a very potent virus in the fridge in your office that's unlocked.
Yeah, it doesn't, it's not even a medical refrigerator. It's just like his personal, I'm
From the
surprised there aren't a few
1950s.
Dr. Peppers, you know?
Yeah, he probably inherited from his mother and father from the 1950s. I'll just put it in my office, Mom.
I mean, seriously.
Nothing, there's nothing in this hospital that's locked. I
No.
mean, Xander and Cordelia walk into the file room, it's unlocked. The
No
only door
problem.
that's locked is what is the door going into the children's ward when Buffy's trying to break in there to save people. Everything else is unlocked. The door to the basement. We're going to put it in the children's ward and leave it unlocked. It's just
Crazy.
like, what the hell?
Yeah, it's pure mayhem in this hospital.
Could you imagine go to this hospital?
No.
You're just like, what the F is going on here?
Yeah. Yes, I do not want to be visiting. Cordelia was right. Cordelia was right. Do not go to this hospital.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly.
The kids really must be feeling better. They are just dashing down to that basement. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know why they're still in the hospital. None of them look sick.
Right. And it didn't it look like all of the beds were messed up? And there's what, 4, 5 kids? There's what? What did we decide on? 8? 16 beds in that room.
I'm as usual exaggerating for effect. There maybe are 8 beds. But I mean, it is definitely a weird room. It really gave me the old timey orphanage sort of vibe.
I just got a mental picture of Oliver skipping through the room singing.
Oh, wow. Good for him.
Well, wasn't there a musical of Oliver?
There certainly was. I think it might have been called Oliver.
Oliver. Hence the skipping and singing. But the way you said that, I was like, oh my God, am I wrong about that?
Oh, well, you know, I think I was thinking of, you know, the original Dickens character.
Okay.
And so I was like, oh dear. You know.
Okay.
So
I was like, I could have sworn I saw.
No, I really think you're right. And I do not think I've seen that. But sure enough, Oliver, and you know, I kind of said it kind of loud, like Oliver, and it's Oliver exclamation point.
For the musical, you just looked that up?
I did. A stage musical with book music and lyrics by Lionel Bart. The musical is based upon the 1838 novel, Oliver Twist, by Charles Dickens. So we were right on all counts. Okay. Kids making a run for it. They can really move for being sick. Creepy costume. Everybody headed for the basement. Oh, and okay. I couldn't remember, but you pointed out to me sometime before when there was a frog and something about Willow and frogs.
Uh-huh.
And here are frogs again. And then frogs I was like, again? What did Tori tell me about frogs and Willow? So could you refresh my memory on what you told me about frogs and Willow?
I can. So back in, is it season 2? Well, it's early in season 2. And Buffy and Willow are talking in the library.
Mm-hmm.
And Willow's fiddling around with the frog. And it's that conversation where she's like, you know, I'm thinking I should just give up on Xander. And Buffy's like, yeah, that's a great decision. And Willow's like, oh, I haven't made up my mind yet. And so there she's like playing with the stuff frog. Mm-hmm. Then I believe... Is it the episodes with Kendra?
Mm.
I'm trying to remember. But Willow is doing research with Giles in the library and she falls asleep. Giles wakes her up and she says something about the tadpoles. And then she's like, I have frog fear.
Okay.
And then we have this episode where she does the frog dance.
That's her go-to for, oh my God, nothing worse than frogs jumping all over me.
Yes.
I can think of many things worse than frogs. I mean, don't get me wrong. I wouldn't be crazy about frogs all over me.
Yeah.
But there are things that I'd be much less happy about.
Well, you know, frogs are very biblical.
Oh.
Wasn't there a plague of frogs or toads or something? Wasn't that one of the plagues of Egypt?
Egypt. That sounds quite possible. Locusts, of course. I get those confused. What happened there versus the Apocrypha?
It is the second plague.
Lay it on
us. Plague of frogs. The first one is the plague of blood.
Okay.
And that's when they turn the river into blood. And then the second one is the plague of frogs.
Nice work.
If you refuse to let them go, I will send a plague of frogs on your whole country. The Nile will teem with frogs. They will come up into your palace and your bedroom and onto your bed, into the houses of your officials and on your people, and into your ovens and kneading troughs. The frogs will come up on you and your people and all your officials. Exodus 8:1-15 is all about that plague.
Well, that is fascinating. And, you know, we get these clear, Willow is Jewish, right? Or her dad is, or whatever. And so it is kind of cool that there's this biblical Old Testament reference here with these frog, with this frog fear.
Wow,
Nice.
I
Boy,
hadn't
I'm
thought
gonna have
about
to
it that
look up
way.
those other plagues. I think I was confusing it with the Apocrypha, you know, the Revelations and the signs of the end of the world. That's not it at all. This is, yeah, the plagues of Egypt.
The other ones are gnats, flies, a plague on livestock, a plague of boils,
Oh, that sounds
hail.
awful.
Yeah, boils doesn't sound too good. Locusts,
Yes.
darkness, and then, of course, death of the firstborn.
You know, I think locusts have the special privilege of being part of both. Because I think locusts are a sign in the Revelation as well.
I was trying to remember what show it was as we start talking about frogs here. And there's some other show. Was it in crap, The Watchmen, where there's just like frogs raining out of the sky?
Oh, it might be Watchmen. I'm not positive.
Yeah, I'm not either.
But there's definitely, yeah, I'm not even gonna, yeah.
You can hear me click-clacking away. Oh, I want to check them out. Oh, no, that was squid.
Oh, the giant squid,
Was
right?
dropping up. Yeah, maybe that's
Oh,
what I'm
yeah.
thinking about.
Okay. Well,
Or maybe
there's
it was a
something where
supernatural
like
episode.
fish or there's something where something starts falling from the sky.
I think it's the squid and the Watchmen, but I'm pretty sure there's some other show I watched that had frogs falling out of the sky.
Yeah.
I can kind of picture it, but I just can't clearly picture the actor. It's too hazy for me. Oh well, I'm really off on a stupid tangent today.
Well, I kind of get into those, you know, plagues and end of days and all that kind of thing.
Good omens.
Yeah. Yes. Was it was there any were there any fish falling from the sky? In Good
Now I'm like,
Omens?
was there? I'd have to go back and look at my notes.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So we
Okay.
shall return. We shall
Yeah.
return
Back on
to
track. Back on track. All the
Okay.
listeners are going, geez, there they go
What are you
again.
talking about? So
Speaking of
I'll tell
something
you.
again, did you notice that Xander had the pants on again?
Oh, no. I guess I wasn't looking at Xander's pants. Was this while he was saving the kids?
He had him on a couple times. He had him on, and then he had jeans on, and then he had him on again.
You know, this might totally fit with all this great meta stuff that you were talking about. Because did you notice how Buffy kills Death?
Yeah, snaps its neck.
Snaps its neck. Exactly what Angel did to Calendar.
Oh gosh, I hadn't thought about that. Now you mention it, it's so flippin' obvious.
I wouldn't have thought of it if you hadn't been laying down all this knowledge about the guilt and Calendar's death and all that kind of thing. But I think because at first I was like, what'd she do to him?
Well,
And
okay.
she broke his neck.
Brilliant.
And
That
it
fits in
was,
perfectly.
and cut, you know, it happened so quick with Angel and Calendar, and this was real quick too.
Oh, good catch.
Thank you.
Good catch. Really good catch.
All coming together. Boy, this episode's gotta start moving up the ranks a little bit. Okay. Hated this scene. Joyce is not your maid, people. What was this? What was this? Bring me chips, bring me juice, bring me my 2/3 orange juice, 1/3. Oh no, I wanted crunchy peanut butter. Baloney.
Well, I'll give it to Buffy, right? She's just out of hospital and she killed a demon. Joyce don't know it, but she killed a demon. And
Joyce doesn't know.
but Willow and Xander, I've been like, come on down with me and I'll send all the stuff back up with you.
Yeah.
I was dating this guy one time, right? We're watching a football game or something and laying on the couch.
Oh.
And he's like, "Will you go get me another Coke?" And I looked at him, I kind of, because we were laying side by side, I rolled kind of over a little bit and I'm like, I go get it yourself. My mom or my sisters would go get it. And I'm like, I'm not your mother and I'm not your sisters. Go get it yourself.
Yeah,
Jesus.
that is not the line you should have used, you think?
You should have said something like, well, you're on the outside. It's easier for you to get up. That I almost might have acquiesced to, but.
That would have at least been some logic, not comparing you to his family members.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, well, I would easily get off on another tangent there, but I'm going to try
But
not to.
totally agreed, totally along the same lines. So Joyce is not their personal maidservant. But she happily complies, apparently, which is crazy. And I loved Ryan's artwork. In fact, speaking of Ryan's artwork, so we have two pieces, right, for display. We have his original, and then we have the awesome Buffy vanquishing the bad guy. And, couldn't he really had a hard time representing the neck breaking, so he just has like a slash in the neck, which is not what happened. But I give Ryan credit. It was funny when Giles was looking, Buffy gives him the picture is like a reference for what this thing looks like. And Giles is like, is this your work or something? Anyway, he thinks it's possible that Buffy has drawn it. And that just made me chuckle. I mean, it's a decent drawing, but it does not look like it's drawn by a 16-year-old.
Is that the same scene where Buffy's kind of given out assignments for people to do stuff? And she says, Willow, you're
It
good at
is.
the medical stuff. And she's like, I'm good at the medical stuff. Xander and I used to play doctor all the
Oh, yes, I think it is that scene. I don't think that is what you think it means.
And Willow's like,
Wrong? Why?
I literally had a medical book.
That scene, so funny. I was going to bring us back to it, but you gave me the great opening
Perfect.
for it there. Yeah.
Perfect. Yes, that was a funny scene.
So, yeah, I, again, it's never been one of my favorite episodes, but after watching it more critically and, reading some of the things that other people had to say, I better appreciate its value. So it makes more sense. I still don't, still not, never going to be one of my favorites, but it's got great. I
Yes.
mean, Cordelia's got great lines. For that reason alone, you got to like this episode. And
Yes,
the whole
yes.
like playing doctor thing is funny.
Classic. And I do think it was a pretty creepy looking costume. I do think that was, I mean, maybe the eyes popping out got a little bit hokey, but the just him skulking around in the hospital was pretty disturbing.
And playing on a lot of people's fears, right? Because a lot of people are afraid of hospitals.
Definitely.
All right.
Well, excellent. I really think this discussion has helped me gain a greater appreciation for this episode. So thank you.
Sure. And I want to thank those writers from the AV Club, TV Fanatic, and Myth and Metaphor. They gave me a better appreciation for this.
Fantastic.
So our next episode is I Only Have Eyes for You. That is episode 19. We're getting close to the end of season two.
Wow, great. I mean, just that with that title, it sounds like another obsessive. I have no idea. We'll see, but Bad Angel just ugh. Yeah, I'm still on my rampage.
Still on the raging. So, all right. Well, then I guess the only thing left to say is bye.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Wallowing in the Shallows is created and produced by the both of us. Edited by Mo. The soundtrack for the Wallowing in the Shallows Buffy the Vampire Slayer Season 2 Rewatch is Apache Rock Instrumental by Sound Atelier, available on Jamendo.com.
You can send us feedback at witstvpod@gmail.com. That's WITSTVPOD@gmail.com.
Subscribe.
And subscribe.
And subscribe.
Subscribe.
Hit that subscribe button.
Like and subscribe.